This is Press Play OK, an in-depth journey into the minds of your favorite local musicians. In this episode, we speak to Horton Records signee Jesse Acock. Jesse is a versatile multi-instrumentalist with a long history as a sideman. He's toured with acts like Elizabeth Cook, The Secret Sisters, and many others. Jesse's latest self-titled release sees a masterful blend of folk, rock, and psychedelia. The new record reflects his sentiments while still channeling the legends that crafted the Tulsa sound.
Well, it's just my luck to be running from another town.
Support for this podcast comes from Musicians Haven, a nonprofit organization focused on providing opportunities for musical enjoyment. Based out of Claremore, Musicians Haven provides events like jam nights, vinyl nights, and intimate concerts. More information on Musicians Haven at musichaven.org or at facebook.com/musicianshaveninc.
You are on the cusp. Well, I guess after this comes out, your self-titled is already out.
Yeah. I'm excited. It's been a long, long process.
Yeah. So I guess we should start from the very beginning here. So you are a multi-instrumentalist, and you're playing everything on this record from guitar to keys to even mellotron. So when did you start, and what instrument did you pick up first?
I picked up the guitar first, acoustic, really, and then kind of in my teenage years got into playing electric guitar. So got my start with guitar and just really just kind of noodling around.
Did you have any family members that were musicians?
Yeah, my dad, growing up, he's a singer-songwriter. So grew up with music around the house and with him playing. So his guitar was the first one I picked up.
How did his playing style influence you?
Well, he is more of a finger picking guy, and I definitely do a lot of that, so I must have picked that up in my playing. But really, songwriting is kind of what I picked up from him the most, I think, and just constructing a song, getting the melody put together, and an interesting chord structure.
What kind of stuff were you like listening to when you were growing up and picking up the guitar at first?
Well, a lot of the stuff that was played around the house. My folks had a pretty extensive record collection, so it ranged from, a lot of classic California country rock stuff. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, The Byrds, and then Bob Dylan. And then, stuff like Bob Marley and the Wailers and the Drifters, like going back really old. And so there was, and Mamas and Papas, like all that stuff. There was a good mix of music all the time. And then once I got a radio in my room, it was just a lot of the stuff that was played on the radio at the time. So it was all the grunge stuff coming out. That really influenced me a lot in those days. And I really got into sort of the classic rock and southern rock stuff when I was learning electric guitar. And so the Allman Brothers and then all the like Jimi Hendrix and Zeppelin, it's kind of like a rite of passage as a guitar player, sort of.
We've all had that moment where somebody plays Stairway to Heaven in the
guitar center. It doesn't matter what generation it is. I feel like those records end up being like the sort of thing you have to get into for a second at least.
Yeah, I think rite of passage is a perfect word for
yeah.
it. So what kind of music is inspiring you right now?
Right now? Oh, man. I have been listening to, this week I've been listening to a lot of reggae and dub stuff, like some King Tubby remixes and stuff. But, and then, on the way here to the studio, I was listening to Gene Clark, who was a member of the Byrds, and he made a bunch of solo albums, but there's one called No Other that they just put out a deluxe version. And it's really good. I've been listening to that a bunch. Been going back and listening to a lot of 90s gangster rap lately, too. So kind of all across the board. Every day has a different mood.
Does the 90s gangster rap ever come through when you're recording?
You know, it might in some way, but it's probably coming through the least in terms of the stuff that I write. I sure enjoy listening to it.
In the process of making something, could you describe like what your creative process looks like? Like, are you listening to this stuff before you get inspired to write something?
Most of the songs on this record, and really every record I've made, is it's like the majority of them sort of come in pieces, and I'll usually just get a sort of overall idea of a song structure. The music kind of usually comes first, and then I'll get a verse, and if I'm lucky, a couple verses in a chorus or something in the first sitting. It's really rare that I end up like writing a song front to back in one sitting, but those are the songs that I feel like are the more magical songs when they kind of come together really fast. So that's always great when that happens, but you just can't count on it. And so it's really just sort of piecing them all together in, you know, over time.
So what do you try to do to try and organize all these pieces?
There's not a whole lot of organization. with this record, a lot of the songs are relatively new, so I could kind of keep track of them. There's a handful that were way back in sort of voice memos and stuff, and I had to go back and like dig through a bunch of stuff and find these little piece snippets and then sort of try to form a song out of them.
That sounds like a process.
It's a process, and I should do a better job of organizing these memos and things so I kind of know what I like better. And, you know, some ideas are just, most of them are kind of throwaway, but occasionally there's one that lands, so.
Has the way that you put an album together changed for the self-titled?
Not really. It's kind of the same process. It's just sneaking in songwriting whenever I have it. Chance, and you know, whenever songs come to me, and it's you never know.
I've noticed that when artists release a self-titled, maybe after a couple of records that have names, for me it kind of seems like a reinvention of sorts. Would you consider this kind of a reinvention?
It's its own sound for sure, compared to the other records. To me, I think the self-titled, I kind of landed on that more out of that this album seems to really sort of contain all these different pieces of what I do as an artist. And so I think it has sort of like hints of songs from different records I've made, and it's sort of pulling all that together, and then it's forming this kind of a new thing altogether. So I just feel like it seems like a good example of, you know, where I'm at right now, at least.
How would you describe where you're at right now, like your sound?
I guess it's just a sort of continuation of what I've already been doing, other than just exploring sort of sonically some different terrain and recording this record in Little Rock at my buddy's studio was really fun. And it's, I think that kind of brought a certain sound to this album, you know?
So what new sonic places are we going?
Well, I think this album compared to some of the last, there's just a little bit of a sort of lo-fi quality to it, you know, without it being very over-the-top lo-fi, just enough to like give it this sort of trashy edge to it. And I think I've always really been drawn to that sound. So I think it's cool in that way, you know.
So did you guys end up recording some analog to get that sound?
We did. So this one, this is actually the first time I've recorded a record straight to tape of my own, and so like that was fun, just hitting tape straight from the floor, and going through some really nice equipment. And Jason has a really a cool like old analog board there that came out of, I think it was it RCA Studios in New York or somewhere. I forget the exact details, but it's a cool board. I know that, like, Dusty Springfield did Dusty in Memphis with that same board and stuff. So it has its own sound, and it's really kind of cool. It's neat whenever equipment actually has a, you know, it colors sonic range, you know?
You can usually tell when something's recorded to tape. It just has, like, a feel to it.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you recorded in Arkansas. I read you also recorded at Paradise Studio at Grand Lake, which is known as a former recording compound for Leon Russell.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's a really special space. That was, we did that because, so Jason, who has the studio in Little Rock, he came over to Paradise Studio to record another record that I was part of that we did. That's like it was called Back to Paradise, and it was a tribute album to Oklahoma musicians. So he came to do that record, and he brought a lot of his equipment from his studio. I needed to do some overdubs, and so we ended up doing some of that stuff there. After that session was over, stayed a day longer and ended up recording these overdubs. And it gave it a little cohesiveness, too, since we were kind of running through some of the same equipment and everything. So that's a special spot.
How do you think recording there translated on the album?
I think it translated great. I mean, we only the only overdub stuff we did there for my album was the we did B3 organ and some Wurlitzer. I believe that's all we did there as far as overdubs go. And so that room is perfect for recording B3, and it was really big and open, so we could either like close mic the Leslie cabinet, or we could get a bigger room sound if we needed to.
What have you learned from this latest project?
Well, it just sort of reinstated the fact that you can go into a studio with sort of incomplete or unfinished songs and with the right people and just sort of having faith in the process, you can come out with a record in a few days. So it just sort of reinstated that. And so I think it's a good lesson.
I'm glad it panned out.
Yeah, same.
Is there something that someone has, this is kind of a random one, but is there anything that somebody has said about your music that kind of surprised you?
The funniest one, it still kind of sticks with me, because I think on the very first record I put out, there was a review that came out of Europe somewhere, and their explanation was, when I first hit play, I thought this was a new Stevie Nicks record.
That's a compliment.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a compliment. It was a funny comparison to me. Just the fact that if anyone likes the art that I'm doing, it always is nice to hear that.
So, like you said before, you were involved in the Back to Paradise album, which is a whole tribute to the Tulsa sound. Is that something you're passionate about, the sound of Tulsa?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that living here and playing music, it's hard to avoid. Luckily, really good music has come out of Tulsa, so it's easy to embrace for me. And it's like, I think I've always viewed music as a tradition. I think it's important as a tradition to sort of carry those on in some way. And so, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to make music that sounds just like Leon Russell or just like J.J. Cale or something, but I think it's important to honor those musicians, and, you know, and then for some artists, those artists influenced us, you know. I mean, they definitely influenced me, so that stuff finds its way into my music, I think. Even if it's just subtle.
How do you think that it finds its way?
Because I think that no matter what, the stuff that we all listen to, that, you know, it all ends up sort of trickling out eventually. I just think it's in our subconscious somewhere. So, you know, it's done intentionally, and then sometimes it's unintentional.
How would you describe the Tulsa sound?
It's kind of an impossible thing to describe, but I do think it's, if anything, I think it's more of a feel. I think it has to do with just the groove. And I don't know if there's anything too tricky to that. I just think it's a certain pulse that happens here. There's certain music that's identifiable by its sound. It's just like Memphis has always had its sound, like the Stack stuff has. The stuff coming out of Nashville's had a sound over the years, and Chicago blues has a thing, and it's like there's all these sort of, there's these hot pockets in New Orleans and stuff, you know? There's these places that do have, seem to have a sort of sound. I don't know what it is exactly, but I do think there's something to it, and it's maybe just a feel.
I think definitely growing up in the area, that kind of regional music, that is what makes Tulsa mean so much to people, the Tulsa sound anyway.
Definitely, and especially like for anyone that lived here during the time when like Leon was reaching superstar status and stuff. I mean, that's someone that's sort of going around the world and carrying this torch, so it definitely would be like a pride thing, you know, for the community.
Back to Paradise. How did you try to honor these artists?
I think we just really tried to honor them by doing our best to capture the essence of what they do and without just blatantly covering them note for note, you know, and so trying to do it justice, and we didn't stray too far from the original songs, and that was on purpose because we wanted to serve them properly, but also we didn't want to just do a complete copy because that takes, you know, the artistic creative side out of it. So I just think that everyone involved did a really good job of sort of putting their stamp on something and doing it with the intent of just really serving the song and the artist.
I think that's one of the main issues with covers, is that you want it to be transformative, but not, like you said, you don't want to make the song your own too much.
Yeah.
But you don't want to copy it either.
Right, right. There's a balance there, I think.
Yeah, it's hard to find that happy medium.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think that you gained from that experience?
Well, that was just a good time. It was a good party. We just like, it was a whole slew of musicians out there hanging out at Leon's old lake house. We had, you know, 4 days of making music and hanging out together. So I think in that regard, I think Leon would have been smiling down for that.